story already, but allow me to share it from the Word of the Lord. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in its head. But when the grain is ripe, and once he goes in with the sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them in second parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. He gave their blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
And more than any other time of the year, at this time,
I guess it's late spring. Seems like there's an urgency to the noise that comes from the trees at this time of the year. I attribute it to the presence of newly hatched young. I guess I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like I'm being serenaded as I walk by. It seems like I'm being screamed at. Sometimes I notice the sensation of the same bird screaming, and it seems like it follows me, hopping from tree to tree, warning me not to come close. Those are birds of trees. I have to say also that the geese are particular at this time of year. Usually the ducks will just walk away from you when you walk by. But at this time of the year, the geese stand in the way, and they ruffle their feathers, and they make an interesting sound that I don't quite understand. But personally, it caused me to cross over to the other side of the street and go around. It's no wonder that Ezekiel and Jesus and other religious thinkers have these trees as illustrations for various things involving spiritual life. All my life, it seems like I've been aware of the parable of the mustard seed, perhaps because the story given in children's sermons like the blessed today. Maybe we might even take it that when Jesus told this parable, he was giving the children's sermon, and from time to time, I have been told that the children's sermons are better than the actual sermon. And I don't know what that says. Maybe that says that in the actual sermons, preachers try to outsmart themselves. Or, conversely, maybe it says something about the level of the congregation. But I wasn't aware that Ezekiel had made a similar statement to tell the sinner of the story. I've read the book of Ezekiel, but I think this is just a way of saying, you don't want to read the Bible one time and say, well, I've done it. It's done for good, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Because every time you read the Bible, you see something new in it. And I suppose that's true of other books. But with the Bible in particular, we offer this suggestion. Keep reading it. This is what the Lord said. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of the cedar and will plant it. And it will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. And can't help himself but to say that birds of every kind will nest in it. It will find shelter in the shade of its branches. And at that point, it sounds a lot like Jesus in this parable of the mustard seed. He asked the question, what will we say about the kingdom of God? And his answer is like the mustard seed because it's very small and it turns into something very big. Grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. Its branches are big enough that the birds of the air come and perch in the shade. I suppose the first thing that we notice about this is that it's a parable about the size of things, something small turning into something big. But it's more than that. Seeds. Something just grow up and become a bigger seed. Like a butterfly from a caterpillar, it turns into something quite different than the seed. I would like this. And part of what our message for this morning is just to consider at this point that life is very often like this. We start a project. We get married and have children. We join a group. Maybe that's just starting out. Maybe it's a church. Maybe it's a club. But whatever it is, it becomes something bigger. But also, it becomes something different than what it started out.
your inner life is like this. And this is a little bit of a different way of looking at it. We're not just seeing the things in our lives that we can notice, like trees growing, and say that this is an illustration of life. This is also a parable about the kingdom of God. It points us beyond. It tells us to look at the world as we apprehend it and recognize that that is just a small key compared to what the kingdom of God will become. For a moment, we'll talk about this life. Because it is a parable about life. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, is life not more than food? Is the body not more than clothing? And he even uses the birds themselves as illustrations of the way God takes care of us when he says, consider the birds. The way God takes care of them. We are such infinite more important than they are. Whenever we see a dynamic play out in our lives, a guardian angel, whenever something that becomes a challenge or a problem for us turns into a solution and we say God has taken care of us, whenever we look at our own lives and we see how much more we have become than what we planned and what we thought, we are meant not just to say that in this life small things turn into big things, things of one kind turn into things of better kind, but we are meant to also look beyond into the eternal. Because every time we want something like this happens, we are being reminded of what is coming. What is in promise. Sometimes we just need the encouragement to know that struggles in this life are going to work out. That if we trust God, God will turn our problems into great solutions and into great blessings. Jesus, when he says this is a parable about the kingdom of God, is also pointing beyond that. Tell us that this life itself is only an infinitely small key compared to the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus was alive, he used the illustration of a mustard seed. Because of science, we have an even more extreme illustration. Science tells us, and of course, I don't know if we're right. I wasn't there. But they tell us that somewhere around 4 billion years ago, all life on Earth proceeded from a single cell that began to divide. Many Christians believe that the implications of the story in Genesis mean that creation began with complex, fully developed organisms, and so they see a conflict with what science is telling them. And I'm not criticizing either of you, I'm more saying this, that the prevalent scientific understanding of life intensifies the meaning of this parable. Because you see, that single cell of a microscope infinitely smaller than a mustard seed. Something you can't even hold in your hand, but it turns into everything else. Not just the trees, but the whole vast array of discovered channel topics. Living things in the depths of the oceans, and in the Arctic regions, and in the mountains, and in the rivers, and human life in all its forms. It's amazing, really. But something so small became something so big. Let me suggest that we are meant to have our notions about life challenged a bit by the children's sermon that Jesus told. I propose that some people don't come to church to have their notions about life challenged. They come to church to have their notions about life confirmed. Sometimes that means church can be challenging itself, because while at times we are affirmed, at other times with trouble. This parable tells us that life is more than what we think it is. That God's grace is bigger than we know. And that we live out every moment of our life in the care and protection of God. And it tells us more. Jesus came proclaiming, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the gospel." And this is meant to ease our anxiety, not only about the trouble with this life, but also about our troubles regarding our mortality. The kingdom of God is bigger than we know. It is infinitely bigger than we know. Not only does a small seed turn into something bigger than this life, but this life itself is only a small illustration of what is coming. I wonder if we can hear it. I wonder if when we read this simple story, it is something that we can be satisfied with in the few minutes that we listen to the reading of it. Or if it's best that we walk out thinking about Jesus, looking around at the world of nature, maybe even just looking at the trees themselves, thinking about what Jesus is trying to tell us about eternal life, as well as about mortal, earthly life. I wonder if we can understand also that Jesus is talking about ourselves. Although, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. Seed has been planted, and it has blossomed forth. Think of that. We are not meant to be disturbed about life. We are meant to be encouraged. We are meant to be aware that not one of our problems gets the final word, because all of our problems, as well as all of our blessings, are swallowed up in this new life. These are not what they think. There are other stories in the Bible that share with us the same kind of message. One of the Old Testament readings of this week, for instance, was the story about the prophet Samuel, who went to the house of Jesse to anoint for Israel a new king. And when Jesse paraded before him his oldest son, Samuel thought to himself, "This one looks good, has to be the right one." But the Spirit said no. And Jesse had seven sons, and they all came before Samuel, and there was something troubled in Samuel's spirit, and he said, "No, is there another?" And so they finally, at long last, brought the youngest one in from the fields where he had been tending sheep. I'm sure he didn't look like much at the time, but whatever it is that stirred in Samuel's spirit, that said, things are not always what they seem, stirred. And he didn't hesitate to anoint David, who became Israel's great king. So take heart. Everything that happens in life can teach us about this great difference between the small seed and the great tree. It can teach us to have faith when we feel like in our lives we are the seed that is being planted in the ground. It can teach us to have hope for our future, for the future of the world, a hope that's not based on human competence, for which, quite frankly, we see too little evidence, but a hope that is generated out of God's grace, which raised up Jesus from the dead. We can be encouraged when troubles come in this life, but we can also be encouraged when, for whatever reason, we're not thinking so much about this life, but we're thinking about the next. We're thinking about our future. We're thinking about saying that everything that happens is God's will. But I am saying that there is nothing that happens that is beyond the power of God's grace to redeem it. God's grace to us is like a mustard seed, which when planted turns into the largest of all garden plants with a whole phytosystem in the branches. We are meant to see that as an encouragement and as a way of lessening our anxiety to the example, both in this life and as we look forward to the next. I do say that very often it is the troubling times that cause us to start thinking. The troubling times have served as a seedbed for great insight, such as the warning that this parable shares with us. It tells us that what is mortal turns into what is immortal. That what is perishable puts off its perishability and puts on what is imperishable. And when it does, when that happens, not even the stars in the sky are as a good illustration, not even the trees. And for this we can be thankful. And I suppose on our walks, when we walk past them, we can remember about the seeds that produce these great things. So, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for the parables about the seed and the tree. We pray that we would be reminded that our lives started as a small seed, but that they will end up in your presence. Encourage us when we are discouraged. Ease our anxiety. Let us be reminded by the natural world around us of the power of your grace. In Christ's name. Let us stand and sing our song of dedication this morning, which is a great hymn about God's faithfulness, number 37, Greater Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
forth from this place in the firm knowledge of your faithfulness, in the knowledge that there is no situation in our life that is beyond the reach of your grace, and that not even death, not even sin, can keep us from eternal life. In Christ's name. Amen.